When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Good afternoon and happy Friday, Lori and Julia show here on My Talk 107.1 Everything Entertainment. Thank you for joining us. Today, we have our last pair of tickets to give away for TLC when they perform at Pride this year in June. But these tickets, and you have to wait for the sounder before you can call in. These tickets, they're VIP tickets for TLC. Ooh. That means you get to go to the VIP tent with free food and beverages.
That's very nice.
And the VIP tent is a gated area right in front of the stage.
Yeah.
And these are $99 each.
Have these people been excited to win all week?
Yeah, they sure have.
Yeah. Yes, all right, what's the sounder? Is it Paris That's Hot?
No. Well, it's a TLC song followed by Paris That's Hot.
It's hot. Okay, yes. Good.
So all listen right. for that. During the show today.
Okay.
Perfect.
Julia, we missed the sold-out Elton John show last night at the Target Center.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, I know.
We saw him.
We have seen him. We've seen him a couple times. But he was very, both papers, both John Bream and Ross Reales said he was too loud, but pleased the fans.
All right.
With his exciting piano movements and countless classics, mostly 70s.
Well, that was his best stuff.
Yeah,
let's be honest.
Yeah, that's his best stuff.
Yeah, Ross Reales had a funny line about he was a rotund drum majorette.
He really has packed on the pounds in the past years.
Yeah, it was. Anyway.
He really is. He's as wide as he is short.
Yeah,
tall.
I guess he said, you know, he gave a shout out to Aretha for recording his Border song before he's famous, and he saluted Prince. He said these two had so much talent, it's ridiculous.
Oh, that's so nice.
People had fun, and he's there again tonight at the Target Center. But we were just on the other side of downtown at a very exciting, it was the first time for our going. It's only been the sixth fashion show for this, what's it called?
It's called Ready or Hot.
Fundraiser for Planned Parenthood.
Passion for Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
And Grant Whitaker, our Grant, curated the fashions, and Allison Kaplan from the Shop Girls looked so
gorgeous.
Yeah,
they were like the MCs. It was so fun. It was really fun. And it was fun shopping.
Oh my gosh.
Let's talk about the shopping because the show didn't start till like 8:15. So it was like an hour and 15 minutes of mingling, shopping, and
at IMS.
And all the people who participate give 25% of what they sell to Planned Parenthood.
Which is so nice. So Locomotion was there. Mm-hmm. Lori shopped till she dropped there.
Yep.
We met Sarah from Gold Fine Jewelry, and I bought...
She's the designer. Her stuff is amazing.
But what they're calling the Betty collar, Lori, because Betty from Riverdale is bringing back kind of the collar dickie, if you will.
Oh, yeah, she does wear a lot of collars, our Betty from Riverdale.
And Sarah, we'd never met her before, and you can see it on our Instagram account at Lori and Julia.
Mm-hmm.
And... it's just a collar that you just wear by yourself, and it's in mesh, and it's all hand stitch with different jewelry on it. It's so lovely. I'm so excited about that purchase.
You will be able to dress up anything that you have by just wearing that. Plus, it's sexy. There's something
it's
very...
so...
Wasn't she... Didn't she also have
cuffs too with it? Mm-hmm. And I love that. I just... love that tailored look. I just can't fit into my tailored jackets lately.
So you
buy the collar.
Yeah, I love it. It really looked cute on you.
And just so many fun people. And there was, a lot of people were there. A lot. Roe Wolf was there. And we did a show from their place at the Galleria. Mm-hmm. And
the fashion show was fun because and they had the, I can't think of what her name is, Erin something, the speaker. She was one of the speakers, but she's, you know, she's elected official here for the state of Minnesota. But anyway, it is all about, you know, just Planned Parenthood is under attack. It just had bad news today from the administration. But, you know, I was telling somebody, I mean, how many years did you get your birth control pills and pap smears from Planned Parenthood? I think I did from like basically 17 until I got my first real job with insurance when I was 27 years old.
I think
10 years.
I think I was about 6.
Yeah. And a nurse practitioner discovered my thyroid cancer when I was 24, just during my annual physical. And I mean, people go there for many reasons. So I love the passionate, you know, that people are passionate about supporting Planned Parenthood and also in the models and the looks by
all
having
different
shapes and different walks of life, because Planned Parenthood provides health care to all different kinds of people for all different kinds of reasons.
Exactly.
So I liked that the fashion
show
and
represented
the models.
Yeah, and we saw Jane Haugen Olsen there looking like Jackie Onassis and Myron
really
Johnson looking all that. It was really, that's a fun thing to do, people. So if you...
I've forgotten like what great space IMS is. I haven't been to like a party or an event there. That used
Joy
to be...
Joy Noel was there.
Yes.
And that's the first time that we went when we used to be in that... what was the name of the AIDS organization, Lori? Come on.
Oh, the fashion show. And we had to our dresses. It was winter, and our dresses that we were wearing got static. And Julia and I had to take off our nylons and kick them under the table. And then
good thinking.
Yeah, but Donnie, we had no idea what was showing. Oh. If there was any you know,
it was for
any daylight.
It was DIFA. And then we were part of the package with the giant Kettle One bottle, and we did the photo shoot.
Yeah.
Oh, it was just... And Joy Noel, I remember sitting there with her dad and talking. Yeah. She showed her first time that year, and that's when we first met her.
Yeah.
And I said, we were the first people to wear you on the red carpet, you know?
That's true.
More people should see her stuff. She's got a show coming up. But anyway, it was really...
It was a blast.
It was a fun night. You want to know what happened, you guys? If I can find it, which probably won't be able to find it.
That never happens.
Yeah, no, I know. We never hear shuffling papers on your side of the table. What's going on?
Oh, here it is.
All right. Okay. Good.
What happened 20 years ago today, the Miracle on Ice, February 22nd, 1980, where the United
it's
States...
30 years ago, actually.
30.
Oh, excuse me. Thank you, Donnie.
Okay, sure.
Math. The United States Olympic hockey team defeated the Soviets in a game dubbed the Miracle on Ice. But here are some interesting things about it that I just read, is that 2 weeks before that game was played, USSR at the time beat the U.S. Team 10-3.
Yes, at Madison Square Garden.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, and Al Michaels announced that game mainly because no one else stepped up to do it. He isn't a hockey expert. He wasn't at the time. He always did football, but no one else would do it. So
really?
He said he
so
would
that's
do
why
it.
He did it.
Viewers had to watch the game on tape delay.
Mm-hmm. Except the listeners of KSTP AM.
That's right, Donna. You said that.
I ran that game. I was the one running the board.
Live.
We were the only
ones.
American radio station that had that game live.
Wow. That's as it should be in the state.
There's a longer story behind that. We don't have time.
But fun. Yeah.
And then the other things that Al Michael ad-libbed the famous miracle question: "Do you believe in miracles?" Yeah. It wasn't rehearsed, and that's how it got the name.
Yeah,
you know,
cool.
It wasn't the final game of the Olympics.
No, they had one more.
Yep.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just thought
that
was kind of fun.
Great because 1980. I mean, Russia, just like today, they are not our friend, damn
right.
it. And so it was
regressed.
Yeah, it is was very exciting to, you know, kick Russia's butt.
And that was
because,
just
the Russians, like, they took these kids, like, when they're, like, 12 years old and they start training. I mean, you know, they've been playing together for years.
Yeah, they were professionals for all intents and purposes.
Basically,
they had beards.
Yeah. Playing against college kids, right?
Exactly.
I know.
Yeah.
All right, listen, when we come back, it's our story. We can't get enough.
I ain't worried about nothing. Plus, I met someone else. We having better discussions. I know this ain't.
Thank you, next, Ariana Grande. Oh, so happy it's Friday. I did have a realization about why your vacation goes by fast. Because they just do, don't they? It's already Friday. Like, look how fast this week went.
It did.
Yeah.
It did go by fast.
Yeah. I don't know.
You're so
blonde
right now.
I know it.
First of all, I have to tell the story about you, and we have a fan. We absolutely sterilize this studio before we start every day.
Yeah.
And I always have a new surprise from my old Bradley. Tippy fingers over here.
Yeah, he's got big hands.
He does. He tips a lot of stuff and likes to leave it for me.
Okay.
Anywho, today we're at the bottom of our bottle of 409 and Lori's just trying to squirt it out and it won't come out, Julia. What should I do? It won't come out. And I'm like, well, A, let's go get a new bottle. But she wanted me to do that. And B, take off the cap and put some of it on the wiper thing.
There was not one drop in that thing.
Okay. But you were so blonde right there. And I'm like, what am I going to do? And I'm like, well, gee. Okay.
I know it. All right. So we are all going to watch the Oscars, right?
Of course.
Sunday night.
Yes.
I'm excited.
I am too.
I actually am excited. And I hope there's a surprise that someone's hosting it so we can have a delightful opening number. Because I love that.
Yeah. One of the things that was fun on Kelly and Ryan today, which was actually a very good show today,
is
they did Oscar memories from different guests that have been on that shared with Ryan. And I loved what Lin-Manuel Miranda's was. He goes, I loved when Billy Crystal was host because I loved his song and dance opening numbers. Yes, they were everything and they were so clever.
Yep. So clever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. And it was a way to kind of get to know the audience too and the tease a little bit
because
the nominated
people.
Because
if they do open with Queen singing Bohemian Rhapsody, I mean, you know, which the beginning, is this the real life? Is this just the fantasy caught, you know, landslide, no escape from reality? But already in the second verse, you know, Mama, I killed a man.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if that will be the opening song.
Right.
Well,
I thought it was because I thought I said that the opening's going to be a good 6 minutes long, which is how long Bohemian Rhapsody is.
That's right. That's right. Oh, so anyway, all right. So we thought
starting with a concert.
Yeah, we are going to start with the concert instead. So, and it's Adam Lambert with the Real Queen. And Adam Lambert is really getting a chance to shine.
As he's had for years. He's excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, singing at doing Cher at the Kennedy Center on, he just like, he did the Elvis thing. I mean, he really is kind of like, he can sing. So we thought instead of going who we think is going to win, and who should win,
Picked who we want to win.
Our Oscar wish list for what we consider the six, basically, top awards.
Okay, I'll give you Donnie's first. Okay. This is Donnie. Donnie wants Best Picture to be Green Book.
Okay.
He wants Leading Actor to be Rami Malek in Bohemian Rhapsody. And did you see it, Donnie?
Yes.
Okay, Lead Actress, he wants Glenn Close as the wife. Supporting Actor, he wants Richard E. Grant, Can You Ever Forgive Me? Supporting Actress, Regina King, If Beale Street Could Talk. Did you see that, Donnie?
I just did.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yes.
And director, you want Alfonso Cuarón for Roma.
Yeah.
Why do you want him for that?
Only because of he did so much with that movie. I understand editing and all that are different, but he immersed himself in that movie. He did so much. It's all him. That movie is all him.
So is The Stars Born is all Bradley Cooper.
Well,
and he didn't.
Okay. It's an opinion,
but I get it. Okay.
Okay. So that would
even like the movie, Donnie, but you think just because he did so much.
Yes. Okay. I can admire his directing, even though I thought the movie was dull.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
These are Lori's.
Okay.
Here we go. Her Best Picture, Star is Born.
You do.
I want it to win.
Okay.
Lead actor, like me, Rami Malek, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Okay.
Lead actress, she's going for the upset, Melissa McCarthy, Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Or I'd be happy if Lady Gaga won. Yeah. Either of those would be my wishes. I mean, I would just love...
You highlighted them both there,
I would just be screaming.
Okay. Sporting actor, like me, Richard E. Grant, Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Okay.
Sporting actress, Amy Adams in Vice.
Just because I want Amy to be a belle at the ball. She's been nominated only one less time than Glenn Close.
Right.
Yeah, six times,
nominations.
Six times, And Lori wants Spike Lee to get Best Director for Black Klansman.
I do.
Okay, now read mine because we're very similar.
Okay, are we? Okay.
Except surprise. For the Best Picture.
Okay, Best Picture, Julia wants Black Panther to win.
I really do.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
I really want it to win.
Yeah. Willem Dafoe. Rami Malek for Bohemian Rhapsody for lead actor.
Yep.
For lead actress, you picked Lady Gaga, A Star is Born. Yes, Julia.
I did just for something fun.
It'd be
It would just be fun.
It'd be amazing. Okay, Sam Elliott for supporting actor for A Star Is Born. Julia, I like that one too. I'd be happy about that too. Amy Adams.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
For supporting actress for Vice.
Yes.
And you also picked Spike Lee for Black Klansman.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
okay. so we'll see what happens.
Do you guys ever follow that guy, Ben?
Yes.
Ben's Oscar math.
Mm-hmm. He's the one who predicted it's had great success over the years.
Yes. He is calling this year's Best Picture one of the toughest years to predict. Mm. He does have it with the lead going to Roma. But what I heard from, I think it was the Access Hollywood people, they had the guy from Fandango and a gal from IMDb.
Yeah.
And they said, and this is how A Star Is Born could get Best Picture mm-hmm. or one of these other movies, is it's the ranking.
Yes, I understand what
you're
saying.
It's the ranking.
So when you fill out your ballot, you go one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
Yeah. And also they put forward the theory that because they think Roma will be best foreign language film,
why should
it win
both?
Quran will get director, that they will rank that lower for best picture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Could be one of the
right.
things that will edge the way for like Black Panther or A Star Is Born or Bohemian Rhapsody
right.
even to win.
Right.
So,
okay.
So they don't really,
they don't at all.
But I mean, that does make sense. Like, if you think about if you're everyone's voting for Roma in best foreign language, and then you think as the director, then maybe you rank the movie lower for the best picture. That does kind of make
it does
sense.
And then the other thing that I read about, and I asked Chris Hewitt about this, and Steven Spielberg spoke up about it last weekend, is there's going to be a little bias against Roma for Best Picture because of the fact that it is a Netflix movie. And there's a little bias mm-hmm. in the director category, in the voting category, because Netflix is competing with major motion pictures that are shown in movie theaters.
I still think that's snobbish on Steven Spielberg's part.
But I think he's not alone in that, Donnie.
No, he isn't.
No.
I think it's going to happen more often.
Yeah.
Well, right. But yeah. I just think people are just going to try to hold it at bay as long as they can.
All right.
Well, I mean, why isn't A Star Is Born winning bigger? Remember when the Venice Film Festival and Lady Gaga and her pink and we were the dazzling feather thing? So the theory about why A Star Is Born hasn't won big.
It hasn't won any, really.
No, just song.
Yep.
Just for song. And Vogue put together their five reasons, and they said one, it peaked too early.
Mm-hmm.
You know that it dropped on October 5th.
Yep,
which led to Cooper and Lady Gaga fatigue.
Yep,
which also led to the fact that Bradley Cooper really didn't even campaign at all.
But they're saying he did. But yeah,
but it was
yep.
He was very, I guess he would be late or he didn't go to everything. He wanted to let the work speak for itself and blah, blah, blah. And Bohemian Rhapsody stole some of the shine of A Star Is Born.
100% for me.
Yep. And the outside theory, and this was positioned by People Style and Beauty Director, is that she blames Allie's hair color, the tragic brown orange, for everything.
I loved how she looked in that. I think that's hysterical. So that's Lady Gaga's character. She blames The hair color.
The hair color.
On the woman, of the woman, the reason why the film isn't making it.
Yes.
Lovely.
Yes. And it doesn't hold up as a heavy hitter movie. So we'll see. Lady Gaga is probably trying to figure out how her team can scrub her performance with R. Kelly that she did at the 2013 American Music Awards.
She's trying to get into Bradley Cooper's pants.
Is she, Julia?
Oh, major. Major. That's what she's been working on. She broke
Remember
up
when
with
Bradley Cooper was a pervy soap opera actor on Nip Tuck?
Yeah, but I loved him from Alias.
I know it. I know it. All right, we'll be back. We'll be back.
This is going viral in a big way.
This is the My Talk Now trending report.
What's this? What's the latest?
Of course, the biggest thing trending right now, we'll talk about it more, is that R. Kelly has been charged in Illinois with 10 counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse. Also trending, Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, has been charged with solicitation at a massage parlor in Florida. He's been charged with a bunch of other folks. One more thing that is trending, we will not see Kendrick Lamar and SZA perform the Black Panther song All the Stars at the Oscars. It's going to be performed by somebody else. All we're told odds, they can't be there because of logistics and timing. That's all we got. All right, here is your forecast. It looks like we could see some snow, then snow mixed with freezing rain and drizzle.
You love the way I make you feel.
Oh, hey, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Friday. Donnie Love is filling in and doing all the stuff for Holly Hollywood today, and Marley's going to bring us the dirt.
Yep.
Holly's off, I think, on a vacation.
She is.
Okay, so I think she went to Arizona, and my friend Shannon is in Arizona. Mm-hmm. She sent me a picture. I forgot to show it to you guys.
They got snow. They got snow in L.A., Malibu.
Yep. She has massive snow right out her window.
Oh, my gosh.
Right out. Oh, yeah. It's just like.
Yeah, the Access Hollywood people showed. I mean, it was snowing in Malibu and collecting. It was
so
45
wild.
Degrees. It's only, I heard Steve Patterson telling Donna today, it's only going to be like in the 60s. In LA this weekend for the Oscars. So, but they'll have it tented. And you know, everybody stays at the, or has a room at least to get ready at the Roosevelt Hotel.
Right.
It's right across the street. So, all right. I thought this was, we never really talked about this. All three of us loved Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
Right.
Just, you know, good movie and.
Great movie.
Yeah. Great
Happy,
movie.
Happy, fun.
And.
I mean, not fun, but you know.
No, it was. It was fun to get to know the story, and even if they didn't, you know, have all of it. But Rami Malek was like, you believed he was Freddie Mercury, but we never really, I guess, I don't ever remember. I was like, did we know if he was singing or was he just lip syncing? I guess that's what I thought. He was lip syncing to Freddie Mercury.
Right.
Because it sounds, all the music in the movie sounds exactly like
Queen.
So did you just kind of think that it was a lip sync thing?
Well, yeah. I thought they were just playing Queen.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. She was just lip syncing.
All right. Well, we've got the real story from Good Morning America about who really was singing
really?
Bohemian Rhapsody. Here we go.
Rami Malek belted his way to Oscar frontrunner status playing Queen lead singer Freddie Mercury. Millions of moviegoers wondered, how did Mr. Robot,
that's when I decided to hack you,
pull off sounding so much like a music legend? Well, he didn't.
Goodbye, everybody. I've got to go.
Meet Marc Martel, a Canadian who got his start singing Christian music until his bass player remarked on a certain similar vocal style to a music superstar. He now sings in a Queen tribute band, and producers of Bohemian Rhapsody sought him out to be the voice behind the voice in the film, mixing Mark's singing together with original masters of Queen's recordings. Mark says his favorite Queen song to sing is Under Pressure, but that unlike Mercury, who had extra incisors, he doesn't have any extra teeth. Malek also provided some of his own vocals, but as he told the New York Times last year, no one wants to hear me sing.
I mean, the thing about the extra incisors that we learned watching the movie, that Freddie Mercury, the reason he could hit so many octaves was he had extra space on top for the air.
Yeah.
That kind of freaked me out. But what is this guy's story?
That he just, the producers of the movie found him. Mm-hmm. And he basically.
Tell me his name one more time. Mark?
Oh,
I don't know. I mean,
that's just wild.
It's wild. So he did all of the music in it. That's his voice.
His voice over the tracks played by Queen.
But isn't that funny that they wouldn't use Adam Lambert, who travels with members of the old Queen band and does the Queen concerts around the world? That's funny that they wouldn't when
maybe
I'm thinking about it.
Money.
Excuse me?
Maybe he wanted too much money.
I don't think he was even asked. No, I don't think he was. I think they just
went in a different direction.
Yeah, but I mean, the guy doesn't get any credit at all.
Wow.
Because I just thought we were listening to the real, you know, the real deal. It sounded so much like him.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of fun. Also, Donnie posted, we've got some great, the best sexiest dresses. I had forgotten about the Ellen Barkin dress. She wore like a 94 in gold. With her, she's got a banging body.
Was that when Sea of Love was out?
I think so.
Oh, that was such a hot movie.
Around then. Anyway, but Angelina Jolie in her beautiful black dress with a leg. Beyonce when she wore that black velvet mermaid.
Yeah.
That's a fun thing. And then also the five best Oscar acceptance speeches of all time.
Yeah.
If you want to see that. And Jack Palance, remember he's City Slickers, he did the push-up. Sally Field in 85, Cuba Gooding Jr., I mean, he was so excited.
That was a great moment for
Jerry Maguire. Halle Berry and her emotion in getting the kiss. And then Tom Hanks when he went for Philadelphia. But it's kind of fun to look at those again.
Remember, he thanked his high school drama teacher. Oh, it was so, that movie was so important.
And how his moving tribute to everyone who died of AIDS.
Yeah, that was that was a good one. Well, here's another thing that we learned today. Okay, so people were sharing their favorite Oscar moments. One of the people that shared was Mariah Carey.
Oh, this is Kelly and Ryan
this morning. And so Mariah Carey is sharing her favorite Oscar moment was when she got to sing with Whitney Houston, and they sang the song from The Prince of Egypt. And the song, then after that, whenever it happens, now the nominations for Best Song are, who made that announcement, Lori? J-Lo.
Did you catch that? Yeah. Oh gosh, that's funny.
And this is way back when.
Right, right.
And she says, I don't know who that is. J-Lo. Yeah. J-Lo introduced the winner.
No, Mariah said that about J-Lo.
Right. So, but Mariah knew J-Lo. J-Lo was the one.
Yeah, but Mariah and Whitney didn't accept.
I know they didn't, but they showed them how excited they were and that they were watching this woman that she pretends she doesn't know who she is, which is J-Lo.
Yeah.
So I thought
she probably didn't know who that was presenting. I believe Mariah on that one. I really do. I like Sandra Bullock's little Oscar memory where she shared that the year she ended up winning for
the high school
The Blind Side. That a little baby sock fell out of her handbag, her
probably
little clutch.
When she was reaching for lipstick or something.
Something, and it dropped on the carpet. And the explanation that she made up on the spot of why she had it. Mm-hmm. She was like, oh, it was my mom's or family member's good luck. But she had already had Louis, but no one had known.
Right? I see.
And she was with the cheater.
Jesse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jesse.
And everything blew up like a week later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was something.
Yeah, I like that. I like that little bit.
Say, guys, that Ellen Barkin dress, that was from 1995 Oscars. And she was there, don't know exactly why, she was in a movie that year called Wild Bill with Jeff Bridges and John Hurt and Diane Lane.
Oh what a hot foursome.
Yeah,
holy cow.
So that's the year she wore the see-through.
Yeah, another, the gold.
Another cute one was Diane Lane when she was dating Ordinary People guy. Who's the kid in Ordinary People?
Oh, Tim Hutton?
Tim Hutton. She was dating him, and he was nominated for an Academy Award. And the very first award that was given out...
Ordinary People.
People for Best Supporting Actor went to Timothy Hutton.
Right. Uh-huh.
And so she says, then I sat... You know, I was young. I was dating him.
Oh, what a beautiful couple.
And so I spent the rest of the show with his mom.
Oh,
because he was doing backstage. Interviews and everything. Yeah.
Well, she just got cast in a movie with Kevin Costner.
They're going to be hot.
Yeah, based on a novel called Let Him Go. Follows a retired sheriff, Costner, and his wife, Diane Lane, as they leave their Montana ranch to rescue their young grandson from a dangerous family living off the grid in the Dakotas. That sounds good, doesn't it?
Does.
Back to Montana for him.
Back to Montana.
Well, Yellowstone took place in Montana.
Listen, he wants to film where he loves it.
Oh, I don't want anyone that else to know good, about though. That state.
Yeah, let him go. And yes. Then Netflix ordered from one of our favorite authors, Kristen Hanna.
Yes.
Firefly Lane is going to be a TV series.
It's such a good
book. That was
book.
The first book of hers that we read. Yep. And it's going to be a 10-episode series. And it's about these two women's friendship over 30 years. Uh-huh. And it's really, everyone I know has read that book. If you haven't read it, it's really wonderful.
It's a great book.
About friendship. No one is, we don't know who, but Kristen Hanna is like over the moon. Because I think her book, The Great Alone, could be
made.
We know The Nightingale has already been optioned. So she's, and then I just read The Winter People, which was like her book.
The Great Alone is in production.
Oh, it is?
Yes, it says here. It's her third bestseller now in production.
Wow.
That'll be epic.
Yeah, it will be epic.
Oh my gosh, I love that book.
Yeah. So what other news do we know from Hollywood? That Elton John biopic, The Rocket Man, I watched that trailer again. It looks so good.
It really does look good. Well, you know what was kind of funny is who's the little Australian guy that is the Wolfgang Puck?
Yes.
So because ABC is hosting the Oscars, they sat and talked to him forever and about him getting ready for the Oscars. He has cooked for the Vanity Fair party or for the show. I don't know.
I think it's the show.
But they don't eat there, so.
No, there is. Do they? No, they don't.
They don't. So I think it's for the after party.
After party, yep.
The governor's ball with Vanity Fair. Mm-hmm. And he was talking and it was kind of funny because then they showed a throwback of him 30 years ago when he was on. He looked like Mark Wahlberg.
Really? That much hair?
But not that fit, but kind of completely different. And then he was just, they were in the kitchen with him showing the big shanks of meat that have been flown in from here and the salmon from here. And their signature thing that they've always done are these mini Oscar chocolates.
Yeah.
But it was just,
I bet everybody
cute.
Takes those.
Oh, I'm sure.
I hope they bring all the leftover food to shelters and stuff.
Of course they do.
Because I bet they have a lot of leftover food. Those people don't eat.
I know they don't.
And PETA is begging everyone not to go to In-Out Burger afterwards.
Why?
I guess they care about that. About your hamburger ingestion.
Oh, for gosh.
Just that one place?
Stay in your lane.
Because that's become kind of a thing, you know, where
people like to do that.
It's 3 a.m.
And they're starving.
They're starving finally.
So they get their burger in a lettuce wrap, though.
Yeah, in a lettuce wrap and then do an Insta of it or something in the back of their limo.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Listen, we come back. Amy Sedaris, Karl Lagerfeld, two completely unrelated stories. Craft. I mean, like 8 of the 10 things are all
that
about,
are trending are all gross men doing gross things. That is a very good way to summarize Twitter.
Thank you, Julia.
Yes, it feels dirty.
And yeah, I was looking for this morning. It just came out this afternoon, or maybe later this morning. A brutally honest Oscar ballot. The anonymous. Is in.
Okay? We've got the new letter.
The new letter. And this is a female sound branch member telling the Hollywood Reporter anonymously, she's not identified, but exactly why she filled out her Oscar ballot. And we did the one yesterday. So for Best Picture, she really wished Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse had been nominated. And A Quiet Place. She hated Vice.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't care for Black Panther. She's not a fan of Green Book. She thought it was retrograde and borderline offensive with all the cliches. And then after I read about what Don Shirley's family said about the movie, that tainted my view.
Okay, got it.
Of it. I wanted to love Roma, but in the end, it was just boring but beautiful to look at. I kept waiting for something to happen.
Yep. I'm so glad she's honest with that movie.
One. And she really liked Black Klansman and... she said Bohemian Rhapsody, but she put A Star Is Born at number 2. And I told you this earlier this week that I think Star Is Born is going to kind of be up there. But she voted her 1, 2, 3, The Favorite, A Star Is Born, and Bohemian Rhapsody.
Wow. Okay.
And this is why that one Oscar predictor guy said A Star Is Born could
have a weird chance. Yes.
Of winning because it will get a lot of 2s and 3s.
Right,
yes.
Right.
I'm going to skip Best Actor. She said, I wanted to vote. It's hard to vote for somebody for a movie you're not crazy about. Rami Malek was great in Bohemian Rhapsody, and this is going to sound awful, but he's so short, and Freddie Mercury was so tall that it bothered me. I liked Bradley Cooper the best. I totally bought him as a drunk rock star. I believed him every moment on screen, and every moment was perfect. I mean, the fact he sang, he played, he directed himself, I was astounded at how good he was.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yes.
Best actress, Glenn Close, and basically because of 1988's film Dangerous Liaisons, that she should have won.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
I love it.
I told you a lot of people are giving Glenn that vote because it's due.
Yep.
Best supporting actress or actor, she said, I hated Sam Rockwell's whole movie, Vice. Sam Elliott was barely in A Star Is Born. Mahershala and Adam Driver are always good, but I think the whole thing with Richard Grant and Barbara Streisand just endeared him to people. I mean, the picture of him crying outside of her house.
Oh, yeah.
And when Streisand replied to his sweet, I know what it's like when you really love somebody and they give you the time of day. He's a lovely actor and you've always known him but didn't know his name. So my vote is Richard E. Grant forever. Can you forgive me? And he might get to meet Barbara Streisand because she's presenting.
That's right.
Oh. Wouldn't that be kind of...
Yeah, and then best actress, she said the lady in Roma has no chance of winning.
No.
Gosh.
The other four, it's a toss-up. She said, I'd love to see Regina King win for Beale Street because she's been fabulous on TV for years and it's her time.
Okay. Mm.
So,
all right, cool. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's kind of fun reading or getting people's insight on that. Amy Sedaris, we forgot to watch her the other night.
She's back with her quirky show.
Her quirky
show. What is it called? Crafts with Amy?
At Home with Amy Sedaris.
Okay.
I think it's on Comedy Central.
Oh, man.
But did you know she and Stephen Colbert, they've known each other since 1988, the Second City, Chicago.
Yeah, go way back.
All right, let's play this from Amy Sedaris, giving us good couch on Monday.
You're the godmother to...
his two boys.
How is the spiritual advising going?
Really well. He's at the age now where I can ask him anything and not be, like, embarrassed. Like, you know, if I want to ask him a question, you know, I really want the answer for him. It's not like asking an adult. So, like, the other day I called him up and I said, how many quarters go into $25? I was rolling change. You know, my change.
So, you're not quizzing him. You don't know the answer.
I'm sincere. He doesn't know it. And I'm like, how many quarters go into $25? She goes, I'll call you right back. He called me right back and he said 100. And I was like, no way. There's no way it's 100. I know my quarters. I collect quarters. I've been rolling it since I've been a waitress. You were wrong. Got on the calculator. He was right. So then I said, and he said, 100? Think about it. Anyway, then I asked him how many nickels go in $2. And then he told me, I don't remember the answer. But it's just one of those things I didn't want to think about, you know? So it's so refreshing. And like, is Hawaii part of the United States? Like questions like that I should know.
Unanswerable questions.
Great. I love it. And and I'm not playing him and I'm not trying to trick him. And finally I can talk to someone, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
And you know,
she's so funny.
And
finally
I
can talk to someone.
And she told Stephen Colbert, he goes, well, how do you describe your show At Home with Amy Sedaris? She said, it's like Martha Stewart being attacked by a wild turkey with blood.
That's so true.
So it's satire.
She's just so delicious. You know, I listened to her brother's David Sedaris' new book, Calypso.
Mm-hmm.
And
I heard it was good.
Yeah, it's funny him talking about his sisters because he's such a shyer personality compared to the big personality.
Yeah,
it's really
she is.
And there's so much love in that family.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good one.
People gathered in Paris today to say goodbye to Karl Lagerfeld.
Yes, they did.
It
was against his wishes.
Well, here's the deal. He left very strict instructions about a 5-page document about what would happen upon his passing away.
Which I just love, the level of detail.
He always told people, there will never be a funeral, I'd rather die.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so no ceremony, but the fashion community gathered, I guess, at his cremation, and a spokesperson for Chanel said his wishes will be respected, there will be a small private ceremony with the people he selected.
Okay, let me tell you some of the detail that he had in his 5-page document.
Okay, tell me.
Okay, so what he wanted was at all of the Chanel stores, remove all the items from the shop window and place a single bouquet of white roses with a company statement on display. The roses were to be purchased locally, and the bouquet would be placed in the very middle of the main window. Mm-hmm. The roses must be 47 inches long stem and should only be placed in a transparent or basic white vase. I love that he's designing it.
Yes.
The manual also provides the staff with acceptable answers to give to customers when they offer their condolences. The staff is to say, thank you for your condolences, or it is a hard time for all of us.
Okay.
And then the statement that would be displayed in the window with the long stem white roses would be the house of Karl Lagerfeld in capital letters shares with deep emotion and sadness the passing of its creative director, Karl Lagerfeld, in February, whenever it was.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I just love that he had that level of detail and that he was the strict instructions, and then his ashes are to be scattered among the remains of his mother and his late lover, French partner, Jacques Debacher, who died of AIDS in 1989. Whoa. And also that his ashes, some of them were to be stored somewhere secret. He's going to go somewhere secret. Yeah. He wants Chopette to be with him when Chopette dies.
Yes.
And there would be no funeral. I'd rather die.
Yeah. Wow. Well, we were shocked. I mean, some of the people that were there, the photos at the Daily Mail.
Okay. We gasped. Because we grew up in reading People magazine with Grace Kelly and Prince Rainier's two children, Stephanie and Caroline. They were always in trouble.
And Albert.
And they were always in trouble.
Yes.
In Malta, or where do they live?
Monaco.
Yeah.
Close.
They were always in trouble. But Stephanie appeared at the funeral.
No, that was Caroline.
Oh, Caroline.
Caroline Monaco of Monaco, the Princess of Hanover.
She had a rough life. I know her husbands have died in race car and boating accidents. She's had a rough life.
She doesn't do any injectables.
That's, doesn't even matter. She looks terrible.
Yeah. She looked like she needed some moisturizing.
Very much so.
Maybe she was very close with Carl and couldn't be bothered to even do makeup. She's in deep mourning.
Yes.
Maybe
there
that's
it.
And just
when you're in deep mourning, you don't give a rat's
crap.
Patoot.
That's right, Jules.
A rat's patootski.
All right, listen, we will be back. It's time to play Shazam.
And we're giving away VIP tickets sometime in the next hour.
That's true.
Stay with us.